All right, so did y'all notice? I think Isaiah was really getting into that song, wasn't he? Wow, good oldie, wasn't it? Yeah, that was a great song. Thank you, guys. Absolutely. Well, hey, again, we want to welcome you. We are so glad that you are worshiping with us, either in presence here or via online. And we're glad that you're here. We are in the midst of a series that we are simply titling Dangerous Prayers. Now, it's an interesting title, right? Dangerous Prayers, because who thinks prayer is dangerous? Well, this was based on a book that Greg Rochelle, an author and pastor, wrote with that title, Dangerous Prayers. And his premise in this book is that there are certain prayers that he really challenges us as believers in Jesus to pray, recognizing that they're actually dangerous, in quotes, because they're asking God to do things that for some of us might be really out on the edge that we've never asked God to do before. And so in this series, we started with just a basics of saying, hey, we just need to pray. And we talked about how do you do that, that it's just talking to God, communicating with God, just like you would any other person. It's just taking time to just talk to God. And so the first message was just pray. Just spend time praying. The second message in this series that we did last week was speak to me, where we invited God to just speak to us. We're like, God, we just want to hear from you. We talked about the fact that we can hear from God in a lot of different ways. We can hear from God through his word, through the Bible. We can hear from God in music. We can hear from God through his Holy Spirit. We can hear from God through his people, through the church. So there's lots of ways that we can literally hear the voice of God. And so that dangerous prayer was just simply, God, speak to me. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be still. And I just want you to speak to me. I hope that's been a good adventure for you so far. Today, we're going to go to the next message in this series, which again is a dangerous prayer, actually, because the title for today's message is Search Me. And what we're going to look at is we're going to look at a psalm by David, Psalm 139, where in this psalm, he invites God to search him. That David is going to literally lay himself out there, and he is going to ask God to search him to see if there's anything inside of him that needs removed, transformed, whatever it might be. Now, it's an interesting psalm because David is the guy who is described as a man after God's own heart. So you would think that a guy who is already described as a man after God's own heart, that he's already done this. Well, what we're going to discover is that this idea of searching me, of asking God to look within us to see if there's anything that needs to be exposed, to be examined, to be eradicated, to be transformed, is an ongoing thing that we do as believers. So we're going to look at Psalm 139 to see what David has to say about this. So it's kind of a long psalm. I was struggling whether or not we should read the whole thing, and I thought, you know what? I think it's a great psalm for today. And so we're going to first read the psalm, and then we're going to break it down kind of the last few verses. But Psalm 139 that we're going to be reading from the New Living Translation, you can follow along in your Bibles, or it's going to be on the screen. And let's hear these words from David. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by my father's oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light among me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked, get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you, your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Should I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, it's an interesting psalm, isn't it? Because we look at these verses and we see in the first part, David's acknowledging who God is. He knit him together in his mother's womb. How precious are his thoughts. And then it kind of takes a drastic turn there towards the end when God says, I hate these people and these enemies of you for a couple of verses. And then it takes another turn and we get to the end where he says, and search me out, O God, and know what's inside of me. So we can sense this struggle going on inside of David. And I think it's a struggle that we all face, that we're inviting God to do his work in our life. And in the midst of that, we go back and forth. We're in this tension as well, right? Between what we think and what we feel and what we do and what we don't do. So we understand David, that even this guy who's a guy after God's own heart, he struggles. And I think we struggle too. And so I think the psalm is a great psalm for us to invite God to search us. Now, what I think in this psalm that is so amazingly compelling is that David was willing to have the spotlight turned on him. I mean, think about that. For each one of us, would we be willing, would we be so transparent to say, okay, God, just aim the spotlight on me, show everything. My feelings, my thoughts, my anxieties, my worries. Show the things I do, the things that I don't do, the things that I say, the things that I don't say. Literally, God, shine the spotlight on me. How many of you would be like, yep, do that? Okay, for those of you on Facebook, not a single person raised their hand. Right? That's a dangerous prayer, right? That we're saying, God, just everything, expose me. Shine the light on me. Shine the spotlight on me. Because look what he says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting. Now, this psalm presents us with an interesting question. Why does this psalm end with David asking God to do that which he already declared that God already did? Wasn't it odd? Like, he's declaring all this stuff that God already does at the beginning, and then at the end, it goes on to say, God, would you just search me and know and, like, point out all this stuff to me? So why would David ask God to do that which he already declared God already did? Well, here's what I think. I think David wanted to seek to surrender and to submit to God's full and complete rule in his life. That even in the midst of his struggles, that David was the guy, and I think it's why Scripture describes him as a man after God's own heart, that he was the one who really wanted to seek and to surrender and to submit to God's full and complete rule and reign in his life. And so the question I have for you, are you willing to live that examined way of life? I mean, really, are you willing to live that kind of an examined way of life? Are you willing to pray this dangerous prayer of David, a prayer that says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." So are you willing? Are you willing to truly say to God, "Everything, search me. Know my thoughts, know my heart, know my actions. I know that I can't hide anything from you, but I'm actually inviting you to know all that stuff about me." And again, why? Because I believe with all his heart that David wanted to seek and surrender and submit to God's full and complete reign and rule in his life. And I think that's a great model for us. Because that's where change happens. That's where transformation happens. That's where we begin to experience the abundant life that God has for us. That's where we begin to be real and true change agents in our world. You know, that's the place where we pray that the reign of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. It's that when we seek and submit and surrender to God's reign and his rule in his life, where Isaiah says, "Not my will, O God, but yours be done." That's where incredible things really begin to happen. And so the dangerous prayer for all of us today is this: are you willing to allow God to search, to know, to test, to point out, to lead, so that you might experience everlasting life? Well, it seems to me if we break this down, which I think is a good thing for us to do, I think we can see several things in here that David is really both encouraging us, exhorting us actually to do in our lives, so that we might as well position ourselves to be like him, to allow God's full reign and rule in our lives. So I think the first thing that David points out in this is that we should ask God to examine me. Examine me. We should say, "God, would you just examine me?" Look what it says in verse 23. "Search me, O God." Now, this is an all-out search. This is a look in every crevice, look behind every door. This is see who I am in public and see who I am in private. This is who I am when everybody's looking and who am I when no one's looking. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." You know, the heart was the seat of the emotions, right? It was the seat of where feelings and things came through. So he's asking God to really search his heart. Is there any prejudice in there? Is there any anger in there? Is there resentment in there? What's in there, God? Would you just search it out? Would you just search it out for me? See, David invites God to know his heart, to truly know his heart, to examine him absolutely closely under the microscope. Because David yearns for a personal, vital intimacy with God. Because he knows how good that is. And we see that in his writings. He yearns for this personal, vital intimacy with God. Do you? Do you really search for that? Do you really want that in your life, this vital intimacy with God, so that God would really know our hearts, so that he can do any surgery that needs to happen, any work that needs to happen? See, Jeremiah 17:9 acknowledges the fact that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Actually, I think that question gets answered because all we do have to do is look at the news, right? And we see how bad the human heart can really be. But we want to make it personal, right? Because this is a personal psalm. It's not only a corporate psalm, but it's a personal psalm. And so for you and for me, are we inviting God to examine us, to search us, to really know what's in our heart? David was. He ends his psalm that way. It's a good thing for us, I think, to see what's going on. Because we can't change what we know, what we don't know isn't wrong yet, right? And so we got to invite God to examine us. So we ask God to, number one, examine us. Number two, to refine us. To refine us. And the metaphor here is like metal that's being refined, that is being cooked at a very high temperature where the impurities are rising to the top and skimming them off. And so the idea of this refinement is this process of getting all that stuff up to the top so we can do something with it. You know, David says in verse 23, test me or try me and know my anxious thoughts. Because he acknowledges that there's some stuff that's not so great in his heart, but there's also some stuff that's not so great in his head as well. And we actually see this all throughout Scripture, that we're encouraged to change the way we think. And if you've been here for any length of time, you know that one of my favorite sayings is how we think determines how we feel, that determines how we act, right? That all this stuff starts with how we think. And so David's inviting God to refine the way he thinks. Do you have any places in your life, any positions, any thoughts that you need to have refined, that you need to have cleansed, that you need to have literally burned away? You see, David invites God to know his mind, to put him to the test, to know all of his anxieties. I was reminded this last week of a buddy of mine sent out a Facebook just reminding us, hey, do you remember like one of the most repeated words of Scripture? Don't be afraid, have no fear. You know, but because that starts in our mind, right? When we begin to think, well, maybe God's not in charge. Maybe God doesn't have this. And we start worrying about all the things in life. But what would happen if we just say, okay, God, come on. Examine my mind. Like, refine this stuff. Greg Rochelle says in his book, what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. I think those are good words for today. That we should be a people, we should be smart, we should make good decisions, but we shouldn't be fearful. Because God's bigger than all of the challenges in our lives, including this one that we're all facing across the globe. So David invites God to search him, to examine him. David invites God to examine him, his thoughts. So he's covering both the feelings and the thoughts, the emotions and the way he's thinking. And then what he does is he says, expose them. Like, don't just look at them. But he goes so far as to say, like, just expose them. And actually what he's saying is, don't let just me see them, but let other people see them as well. Because it's the community that helps eradicate this stuff, right? So he says, expose me. Just let it be seen. In verse 24, he says, point out anything that offends you in me. Like, what would our life, like, what? How much time would that take, right? If we ever prayed that prayer. Okay, God, point out everything in me that offends you. Now, some of us are like, well, there's nothing there. Yeah, there is. What you think, what you feel, what you do, what you don't do, what you say, what you don't say. We all have stuff in us that we should ask God to just like, just expose that, point it out. Because if we don't point it out, what happens to it? It stays there. But if we have God like really pointed out to us, that's where change begins to happen, right? That's where we get to take it and we get to do something with it, and we don't just carry it along with us. And so David is asking God to just expose it, point it out. David invites God to reveal any sin, even that which he wasn't even aware of. See, here's the metaphor that I see. I don't know if you noticed, but we got some new lights in here. Super, super excited. We're in the process of trying to bring the lights up in our worship center. Kenny Huss spent like the whole day here yesterday and Friday working on this, and Derek Anderson helped, and Keith Weckstein helped. And we just, but we got some new lights, right? And so we got some lights that are shining some spotlights in different places. And so that's kind of the metaphor that we get from this, from David, is to literally just like shine the spotlight on those areas of our lives that have yet to have any light shined on them, right? That we're asking God to just reveal any sin that isn't aware of. And see, this is what I think God does, is that when we ask God to do that, God's going to literally take that spotlight and go, whoom, and point that out to us, right? And then we got to do something with it, right? God does his part, we do our part, and so we do something with that. We work on transforming that, eradicating that, getting that out of our life, anything that we need to. And then so often, what do we do? Like, oh, got that one. But then what does God do? He takes the spotlight and goes, whoom, now let's work on this one, right? And you're like, oh, okay. So you begin working on that other stuff, right? And you're like, okay, I got that. Sometimes you still got to keep this stuff over here because you've worked on it, so you get this. And then sometimes we start getting really comfortable, like, ah, I got that one covered, right? Okay, I'm doing pretty well. And then God's going to go, whoom, and he's going to point out another place in our life, right? Again, why does he do this? So that we might experience the abundant life that God has for us. He's got to expose this stuff for us. He has got to refine this stuff in us. He's got to expose this stuff so that we can actually do something with it. So he wants to expose our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. That's a whole person, right? Our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, our actions. And David just say, God, would you just expose that? Again, it's interesting because God, he already knows that God knows that, but he's saying, I need to know that because there might be some stuff in me that I'm not really aware of that is actually hindering my relationship with you. So he says, God, search me, examine me, refine me, expose me, all the stuff, even that stuff that I might not even be aware of, so I can really be the man you created me to be, that man that you knit together in my mother's womb, that guy that you had great plans for. So do all that in me, God. So he invites God to search him, examine him, to refine him, test him, to expose him, to point out anything. And then he says, now lead me. He says, now God, lead me along paths of everlasting life. Look what he's doing. He's saying, God, would you just direct the entirety of my life? Everything. Everything. Not my will, but yours. God, I want to be the one who allows you to have total reign and rule in my heart and in my head. I want you to be the one who exposes anything in me that is not good. I want you to refine all of that stuff. Burn off that stuff, that impurity in my life. And now lead me in the right life, the righteous life. Direct me in the way that is the abundant life. In Psalm 105:8, it says, lead me in the right path. See, that presupposes there's a right path and there's a wrong path, right? He says, lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Make your way plain for me to follow. So David invites God to lead him. He's like, where you say to go, I'll go. What you say to do, I'll do. I will follow you every day of my life. Now, when we move that to the New Testament and see how Jesus describes that, look what it says in John 14:6. Jesus says, I'm the way. Like, you want to know the way to the life everlasting? Jesus says, that's me. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we get the answer in John 14:6 to David's prayer in Psalm 139. That we're examined, we're refined, we're led, we're exposed by doing the way of Jesus, by being followers of Jesus, allowing him to have total reign and total rule in our lives. And so again, the question that I have for you, the application that I have for you, not the people sitting around you, not the people that some of us are already thinking, man, they really need to hear this message, but for you and for me, because we all have our stuff. David wanted to seek, to surrender, and to submit to God's full and complete rule in his life. Here's the really transparent question. The gut check, really honest, really lay it out there question. Do you? Do you really? Do you really want God to search your heart, to know what's in there that's not good? Do you really want God to refine the stuff that you're thinking about and to literally burn off the bad stuff? Do you really want God to expose all the stuff that is hindering your relationship, your right relationship with him and with other people? Do you really want God to expose that? And then do you really want God to lead you? To lead you in the path of everlasting life? Of saying, not my will, God, but yours. Where you say go, I will go. What you say do, I will do. How you say to live, I will live. Are you really willing to do that? And if your answer to that question, do you, or will you, or are you willing, if your answer to that is yes, then I have a second part of the question. What would it take for you to truly and authentically do this? What would it take for you? What would it take for you to seek, to surrender, and to submit to God's full and complete reign and rule in your life? What would it take? See, when we can name it and we can claim it, it's the place where we begin to experience transformation. Because when we can name it and when we can claim it and we can invite God into it, see, I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that our God, y'all, our God can do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably more, and one translation says, than we could ask or imagine. Another translation says that we could ask or think. I really like the imagination word because my thinking can get wrong. I guess my imagination can too, but the possibilities for me of what I can imagine, could God use the situation that we're all facing now for a global revival, for a global awakening, for getting people, while God doesn't cause that stuff to happen, could God take that and say, we're going to use this for my purpose, and it's going to be to draw people to me, that lives might be changed. But let's get back to the personal, because here's what I want to invite you to do. Isaiah's going to come up. They're going to lead us in the last song.